Yes, earlier this week the Pulitzer Prizes were announced, and surprisingly no winner for the Fiction Prize. It's the first time since 1977 that this has happened. The Pulitzer Board says that no majority could be found among the judges for any one of the three finalists. They were Train Dreams by Dennis Johnson, Swamplandia by Karen Russell, and The Pale King by the late David Foster Wallace. Well, the news has been greeted with consternation by many writers and bloggers and publishers, but Lev Grossman doesn't think it's such a bad thing. He's the literary editor for Time magazine. He's also a fantasy novelist, and he joins us now also from New York. It's New York Day. Hi, Lev.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm terribly well. What was your reaction to this news?
Well, I'll tell you, I wasn't annoyed by it. In fact, I was slightly pleased by it in a way, and I'll tell you why. The Pulitzer is not an Oscar. The Pulitzer does not go to the best novel of the year. The Pulitzer is meant to go to a distinguished work of fiction. And if you take the view that I do, and it's not everybody's view, that distinguished works of fiction are extremely rare propositions. I don't think that, in fact, a great novel is published every year. And I thought the Pulitzer Board showed a lot of discipline in saying nothing reached our standard this year, so we're going to let this year go by without an award. I'm sure they wanted to give it out, and then they felt they couldn't, and they admitted that. And I thought they had a lot of integrity to it, that decision.
So for you, the real question is, do we have a book this year that meets a standard? It's not just what's the best book of the year, let's give that the prize. It's got to tip some kind of balance. What is the factor that would tip the balance for you?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as distinct from the Pulitzer Committee, for me, I would want to feel that a novel was sufficiently great that it would transcend this present moment and would be read with pleasure and would move people and would startle them and do all the things that a novel should be able to do. I would want to know that novel, or feel that novel could do that 25 years from now, 100 years from now, and that's a rare thing. It doesn't
of course, that's that year. Doesn't solve the problem, Lev, because that means that we'd have to give the Pulitzer Prize in 25 years' time. We'd have to look back at works that were published in, you know, in 1990 to see whether they'd stood that test.
Which, by the way, I think is a wonderful idea. If they give out the 2011 Pulitzer 25 years from now, I think you might be onto something.
Hey, this is brilliant. You could push it in the States. I'll push it here. We could really pull this one off.
Yeah, we could call it the Retro Awards. We'll have to work on the
branding. No, the Pulitzer Prize. It's what the Pulitzer Prize should be. Let's hear someone else's point of view. This is the Orange Prize-winning novelist Ann Patchett, the author of Bel Canto and more recently of State of Wonder. She was disappointed about the results. This is what she had to say on PBS, the American Network's NewsHour.
There were loads of books that were good enough this year, and frankly, all three of the finalists were more than good enough. And I think that the main thing that we need, especially in this environment of are people still reading fiction, are people still going to their bookstores, we need the prize to do their job and to pick a winner that we can all feel excited about.
So there's another point of view, Lev, that the job of the Pulitzer Prizes is to generate excitement.
Well, right. Anne was, in fact, speaking to me in that quote. I was also on the show. I guess it comes down to a disagreement as to what the prize is for. Is the prize, in fact, is it a marketing tool? Is it a tool for promoting books? I'm not sure that it necessarily is. It's a powerful tool. It is the Pulitzer Prize is probably the most powerful prize in the U.S. It's brought to the very forefront of the literary conversation voices like Edward P. Jones, Junot Diaz, Jennifer Egan. It's a wonderful tool. I just wonder if they use it in bad faith, if they use it a little bit too much, the danger is that they might cheapen it, and then in future years it might not be quite so powerful.
You can understand why the booksellers are miffed, though, because if you can put Pulitzer Prize on the front of a book, it helps it sell.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. I'm just saying, if they don't use it, you know, responsibly, if they give it to books that maybe don't meet the standards, you know, 10 years from now, it won't be such a useful tool as it was.
Is that an expression you use in the United States? Do you use miffed to mean cross?
We do. We do say miffed, yes.
I wonder where it comes from. So what does it say about the three books that were finalists? I mean, the authors must be devastated by this idea that they got so close, but somehow none of them was good enough. Or is it possible that what's actually happened is that the judges were in some kind of deadlock? So you had three books that were all absolutely terrific, and they just couldn't pick between them, and so by default no prize was given.
Well, one of them's dead, so he's not too worried about it. That's David Foster Wallace. Although it is sad in a way to think that Wallace never got a major prize for fiction while he was alive. He never got the Pulitzer or the National Book Award. So if I had been on the board, I might, for sentimental reasons, have awarded the Pulitzer to him. But, you know, it was an odd bunch. I mean, it was this unfinished novel by Wallace. It was a very short novel by Dennis Johnson that was originally published, 10 years ago, something like that? And then one conventional novel, Swamplandia, by Karen Russell. So it was a curious lineup that the jury presented to the board, and it doesn't completely surprise me that it was divisive. I'm sure that the authors are disappointed. Then again, I published a novel last year. It wasn't even a Pulitzer finalist. I'm thinking that I would have been quite pleased to make it that far.
I guess that's right, yes. Yes, oh, to be shortlisted. So just explain the system. So there's a jury. I don't understand how it works. Tell me how it works.
Well, it's actually quite odd. The Pulitzer Prize we think of as this pure and constant sort of voice in our literary culture, but in fact the jury consists of three people who are replaced every year, so it's a new crop every year. That three-person jury comes up with three finalists, which they then present to the Pulitzer Board, which is composed not necessarily of literary people. It's primarily, I believe, journalists and editors who are on that board, and that's a board of 18 people. And then they vote for the finalists. And as you said, if they can't get, I think, a simple majority, no prize is awarded. Given that that is the system, it is not. In a way, it's surprising that they've gone 35 years without a deadlock, and they've managed to award something every year. It's quite an odd system, and it's sort of the inverse of the usual system, which is that a large board comes up with a long list and then presents it to a jury, but the Pulitzer does it backward.
Have you ever judged one of these competitions, not necessarily the Pulitzer, but a literary award or a literary prize?
I spent 3 years as a judge for the National Book Critics Circle Award, so I'm well aware of how divisive the discussions backstage at an award with an award like this can be. And again, it doesn't really surprise me that the board deadlocked, because people get very stubborn, they get very worked up, and they sort of dig their heels in. There's a lot of internal politics that goes on, in my experience. So it's not wildly surprising that they couldn't come up with a decision, given the human foibles that inevitably go into this process.
Here in Australia, we have a series of literary awards in each of the states, or in most of the states now. And many years ago, I agreed to be a judge in my own state in the non-fiction category, not really knowing what I was in for. And 2 days later, there was a knock at the door, and there's a courier there, and he brings in a box, and he says, "These are the books you've got to judge." And I say, "Oh, great." And he says, "No, there's more." And he keeps bringing in boxes. And when I unpacked them and piled the books one on top of the other, they were taller than I was. I just stood in my living room looking at this Tower of Babel, thinking, "Oh, hell, how am I going to read this?" So I rang my best friend and said, "What am I going to do?" He comes over, he says, "It's easy, it's easy. There are three categories of books here, books that are not starters, books that are kind of, you know, possibles, and books that are clear contenders. Let's divide them into three piles right now." And that was a huge breakthrough.
Well, it pleases me to hear you say that, because, you know, there is so little transparency in the judging procedure. I mean, we still have no idea what criteria the Pulitzer Board was applying to these books. What were they looking for from the books that they didn't find? We have no idea. It's a strangely sort of mysterious star chamber that hands down this decision. It's very sort of papal and mystical.
If you were all powerful and there was one book that you could award with a big prize for the year, what's your favorite?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, and then this will brand me as an outlier, I know. I thought the best book that I read last year was A Dance with Dragons by George R.R. Martin. I think it's the conventional wisdom that a writer like Martin, because he's a popular writer, a commercial writer, a genre writer, that he cannot be an important writer or a significant novelist. That's the conventional wisdom. I don't hold with that. I thought that that the work that he does and that he did in that book is radical and very virtuosic and very powerful. And if I were all-powerful, and I'm not saying that I'm not, if I were, that is the book to which I would have awarded the Pulitzer Prize, which tells you why I'm never asked to be on Pulitzer juries.
Lev Grossman, thank you for joining us on the program. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
It's been a pleasure.
Good on you. Lev Grossman there. And we'll put a link to Lev Grossman's article about the Pulitzer Prizes on our own website and also to Ann Patchett's article in the New York Times. Well, what do you think? Was the Pulitzer Board justified not to nominate a winner? If you pop along to our website, you can have a say, or you can jump onto Twitter at RNBooks and Arts. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN.